Day to you mothers today, and if you would turn in your Bible to Exodus, the second chapter, Exodus chapter 2, and before we going to have that video, Tim.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep, or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh, my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, it's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Maybe helps us respect our mothers a little bit more than maybe we did before. Today we're going to be looking in the book of Exodus, if I can get this thing to cooperate here. Okay. There we go. Today we're going to be looking at a mother's legacy coming from Exodus, the second chapter. In Exodus chapter 2, we will be reading about the life of Moses, and we know about Moses. We know a lot about Moses because the name Moses occurs over 800 times in the Bible. That's a lot of times for anyone's name to appear. But let me give you just a little bit of Bible trivia for just a moment. Who knows the name of Moses' mother? Her name was Jochebed. How many times do you think Jochebed appears in the Bible? Twice. Two times. That's the only, in fact, when the story starts in Exodus chapter 2, it just says a man married a daughter of Levi, doesn't even give her name. You have to get to the sixth chapter before you even find out that the woman's name is Jochebed. And so, like many mothers, they don't get the recognition that they deserve. See, I believe that a mother's legacy, is defined by her children. And if you think about it, Jochebed had three children. She had Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And so when you think about moms, and especially as we looked at the video a few moments ago, I think moms are certainly the unsung heroes, without a doubt. But today I want us to think about what marked Jochebed as a mother. I mean, what really stood out in this mother's life? And I want to bring three things to your attention. First of all, she was a positive encourager. Look at Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 down through to verse 2 with me. It says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. You see, Jochebed, like many moms, was a loving mother. And Jochebed sees something very special in Moses. She saw this child, that he was beautiful, but it's more than that. There was something different about Moses. He was special. There was something about this baby that she knew was different. And so, I believe that it's moms need to recognize their children's specialness, because every child is special. Every child is unique. And every child, I believe, has a purpose in God's great plan. I believe that with all of my heart. You see, we encourage men today to step up and take a leadership role, to be the spiritual leader in your family. But I think also we need to encourage moms to step up and be a spiritual encourager and a spiritual influence in your children's lives. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Here's the thing, moms. You literally have the ability to breathe life into your children. You can breathe life into them by the words that you speak to them, by whispering in their ears when they're on your lap or you're holding them on your shoulder. I think it's a time to let your children know how special they are, because you have an ability, a unique ability, to breathe life into your children. In fact, moms are real good at sayings. Moms love to say things to their kids, and they have these sayings that they will use throughout their child's life. And I put on Facebook and I ask my friends to kind of fill in the blank. My mom always said to me, and I had a lot of responses. And I just want to read some of these. Some of these are very tender, and some of them you can tell that some children were pretty rough. But one person said, my mother always said, open doors for women and the elderly. Another one said, the world doesn't revolve around you. And maybe you heard that. Or don't run with the scissors. Or if you're going to cry, I'll give you reason to cry, you know. And I like this one. What would wisdom do? What would wisdom do? What good advice that is. Here's another one. I don't care what everyone else is doing. I care what you're doing. Life is not fair. If ever there was a child that was loved, it was you. Behave or I'll knock you in the next week. Maybe you've heard that one a time or two. Always wear clean underwear with no holes in case you're in a car wreck. That's good advice. Or eat your ice cream and be happy. You see, I realize that some of you may not have had a positive influence from a mother. But here's the thing. You can be that for your children. Even though you may not got that from your mother, you can give that to your children. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse 23 that Moses' parents saw he was a beautiful child, that he was a special child. You know, they knew by that God was up to something. They knew that God was going to use Moses. They didn't know how God was going to use Moses. They only knew this child is different. He's special. And God has plans for this child. And they believed that. And they knew that. But you see, it's one thing to recognize that. And it's another thing to verbalize that to your kids. And so I want to encourage you, not just recognize that hey, this child is special, but I want you to verbalize to that child that child is very, very special. And I believe that every mom can whisper into her child's ears, God has a plan for your life. God wants to use you in a very unique way. I believe that. Because I believe that God has plans for every child. I also believe that children deviate from God's plans for their life. But I believe that every life has a purpose, and God wants to use every life. You see, Jochebed didn't keep that to herself, that Moses was special. She verbalized it. She used the opportunity when she nursed him and even a little later, and we're not told how much interaction that Jochebed had with Moses, but I'm sure that she had some time to speak with him. Miriam kind of being in that inner circle a little bit with Pharaoh's daughter. I'm sure there were opportunities for Jochebed to whisper into Moses' ear again and again and again, you are special, and God has a plan for your life. And so, number two today, she was an intentional discipler. Now, when Moses was born, it was a very difficult time. The children of Israel had been slaves in the land of Egypt for 400 years. And so, life was tough. A decree had been given, in fact, that all of the male babies who were being born during this time were to be drowned. They were to be thrown into the Nile River. That was the decree that had come from Pharaoh, because Pharaoh feared that the Israelites would join the forces of an invading enemy and conquer them. And so they wanted to do away with all of the Hebrew male babies. But in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2, we read that Moses' mother hid him for 3 months. So there was a period of time when Moses' mother hid Moses. He had been born and she hid him because she knew that God was going to use him and that Moses was a special child. Now look with me at Exodus chapter 2 and read just a few verses with me beginning in verse 5. Verse 5 through 8. And it says, "The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile." Now remember, Moses' mother, when she could no longer hide Moses, put him in a basket in the Nile along the reeds. And then verse 5. "The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens, walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid. And she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the boy was crying. And notice, she had pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Verse 7. "Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?' Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go ahead.' So the girl went and called the child's mother." And by the way, look at verse 9. "Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him." And so here we see that, you know, God had a plan for Moses. And Jochebed knew this. And so Jochebed had to trust her son's future with God. And she did. And Moses, because of this, he grew up with a sense of who he was. And I don't believe that this happened, by the way, by accident. Moses grew up with a sense of who he was because of his mother Jochebed, because of her teaching, because of her whispering into his ear again and again that God has a special work for you. You see, this didn't happen by accident. She used the early years, she used those early moments to nurture Moses and to train Moses and disciple Moses. And it's important that we always keep the big picture in mind. In fact, I want to refer to you a passage of Scripture in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. And want to read verses 6 through 9. 6 through 9. Listen to these words. "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now let me ask you a question. Do you know who wrote those words? Do you know who wrote those words in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Moses. Moses wrote those words. That's exactly right. And where do you think Moses got this idea from? I think Moses got this idea from his mother, because this was a reality in his life when he was young. She took Moses and she talked to Moses and she trained Moses and she helped Moses along in his walk with God. You see, you have to be very intentional about teaching and training your children, Because if you don't use those moments in life to whisper in their ears, if you don't use those moments when you're driving down the street, if you don't use those moments when you're taking a walk around the block with your children, if you don't take those moments when you're sitting at the table and eating a meal together, you're going to miss out on the most important training moments in life. Listen, the best training that I think we can give our children is in real life settings. Not so much a classroom setting where they walk into a classroom and we open a Bible and teach them, but when we're taking a walk, when we're taking a drive, when we're sitting at the table and we're eating a meal, that is the natural context in which we should teach and train and nurture and talk to our children about God. Otherwise, they get the idea that, hey, God only exists in church. He only exists in a Bible class. He doesn't exist in real life. And so I really think that the best way to teach our children is in the real life settings of life. And those are the moments that we're supposed to use and train our children. Otherwise, they just connect God with a building. They connect God with a classroom. And when they go out, they don't live it. Because their connection with God was in a classroom. It wasn't at the supper table. It wasn't when they were taking a drive across the country. It wasn't when they were taking a walk around the block. It was in a classroom. And so that's where they leave God. And so we need to train them in the natural setting of everyday life. And so you need to be very, very intentional about teaching and training your children. Now, here's the problem. Busyness seems to be the hallmark of our world. You see, we're all busy. Life is busy. We work. We have house to clean. We have food to cook. We're shuffling kids here and there, and we get very, very busy. But it takes time to train children. You can't train your children on the run. It takes time. There has to be moments when you sit down and you talk to them and you interact with them about God and what God means to them and how God needs to be first in their life. You see, the distractions of life are absolutely innumerable. And if you don't take the time and you're not intentional about discipling your children, you are going to miss many of life's most important opportunities to nurture and train them and teach them about Almighty God. One of my favorite examples in the Bible of this is Timothy. When Paul writes his letter to 2 Timothy, he reminds Timothy of the sincere faith which was in him, which he said first dwelt in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and then he says, and I believe also in you. Now, I don't necessarily take that to mean that Lois and Eunice teamed up. I take that to mean that Lois taught Eunice, and Eunice taught Timothy. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Now, they could have teamed up, but I see that more as generational teaching. Lois, the grandmother, taught her daughter, and her daughter taught her son Timothy. So the faith that was in Timothy was there because it started in grandma. And it was passed down, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But it takes time. It won't happen accidentally. It takes time. Third, today, she was a faithful follower. One of the things that I love about Jochebed, and obviously we don't know a whole lot. She's only mentioned twice in the Bible, but she obviously was a very faithful follower of God. And when you look at her sons, Aaron, he was the first high priest of the nation of Israel. Miriam was a worship leader in the wilderness when they crossed the Red Sea. She got all the women together and got their trembles and began to worship and celebrate God Almighty. And she got all the women together and was leading them in the worship of God. and then Moses. He was the deliverer, but the one also who delivered the law to the children of Israel. But here's the thing. This didn't start with the children. It didn't start with the children. It started with Jochebed. The reason that Aaron was the boy he was and Miriam was the woman she was and Moses was the man he was is because of the mom that Jochebed was. Jochebed was a great mom. And so it started with her. She was a faithful follower of God. And by the way, moms, I realize too that there are no perfect moms in here. There are no perfect moms. There never has been a perfect mom. Moms blow it. Moms fall on their faces from time to time. We all make mistakes. But what our kids want us to do when we do that is just be authentic, to be real, to say, Mom blew it. I shouldn't have said that. I should have acted differently, and admit it and move on and be a good example for your child. Because it's so important that moms, that you raise up your children to faithfully and lovingly serve the Lord. Because that's what God expects. You see, moms, you will leave a legacy. And the question is, what legacy will you leave? And your legacy will be defined by your children. But I will say in this, that God is more interested in your direction than He is your perfection. Meaning that, yes, moms are going to make mistakes. Moms are not always going to make the right decision. There are going to be times when maybe you should have taken a moment to train your kid and you didn't. Whatever. That happens. But God's interested in a heart that is pursuing Him, that is going after Him. And so He's more interested in the direction that you're going and taking your child than He is perfection. He's not looking for perfection from anyone here today, because there's no one here today that can offer that. It's just direction. It's just going in the right direction with your children. And so I think these three things defined Jochebed as a mother. I hope they will define you as a mother. And I know that if you will encourage your kids, disciple your kids, and faithfully follow God, I believe that many of your kids will follow right behind you. But I also know this, that if you don't take the opportunities to teach and nurture and encourage your kids and whisper in their ears that they're special and God has a purpose for your life, then more than likely they're going to deviate from that. And they're going to go out into the world. And they're going to do other things. Because that's what happens. And so, I think we have a great example and a mother and Jochebed for each of us to follow. And I encourage you to do that today. We're going to extend the invitation at this time for anyone who feels the need to come confess sin, to rededicate your commitment to Jesus Christ, to come and have us pray about things that are going on in your life that maybe are overwhelming right now and you just need help. We want to be here to help you. We want to hold your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to see you through whatever you're going through in life. And so as we sing this song, this is your opportunity to respond. Respond as we sing.